We started last week talking about the family of God adds to their faith. And in verse 5, it said, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." And we mentioned briefly these things: virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godly brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness. And the last one he mentions there is charity. So I want to talk this evening about charity. We add to our faith. That's good. Usually my phone is in my truck, but I happen to have it in my pocket tonight. But it's all the way down, I hope. But anyway, you know, I'm always afraid that's going to happen. You all know George Birkinshaw. We was at a pastor's. George just beats to a different drum. I mean, he just does. We were at a pastor's conference one morning, and I was preaching there. But if anybody's cell phone went off, he wanted everybody to stand up in the church and point at the person and go, you. I'm thinking, George, you know, we don't want to do that. I mean, he's just nuts. But anyway, could you imagine us doing that in here? Bad idea, because what if it was mine? I wouldn't want it to be me. Anyway, we're going to talk about charity. Now, charity here, you should know this, but it's agape love. So whenever in the Greek, there's two or three different words that mention the word, that we translate love. But this is agape love. And that is, we are to love others without finding a reason in their behavior to merit our love. It's sacrificial love. It's the unconditional love. It's you are giving that love to somebody else without any thought of return, because that's what you do. Besides that, that's how God loved us. God loved the unlovable. There was no merit in us that would warrant God to love us. You know, we're depraved. We were wretched and sinful and wicked, and yet God still loved us. We ought never forget that. Because if we could just keep that in our minds, it would help us to love other people. You could think, they don't deserve my love. Well, we didn't deserve God's love. That's why you hear us use the phrase sometimes, unmerited favor. There's nothing in me or nothing in you either, I don't mean to bust your bubble, but there's nothing in you that God would look at you and say, wow, you're so much better than everybody else, and you're so more deserving than everybody else, I'm just going to lavish my love out on you. That's not the way it is, okay? It's unmerited favor with God. Now, we grow in charity as we show his love to others. Now, here's what I'm going to give you, and I have a lot of points to give you, but I'm not going to really expound on them, but I am going to look at a lot of passages of Scripture. So if you take notes, and a lot of you do, just write the reference down, and you can figure out the point yourself, I think. All right? The Bible teaches us certain ways how we are to treat one another in this family that Peter said, the family of like precious faith. Now, almost every chapter, if not every chapter, in the epistle of 1 John, tells us to love one another. And we read tonight in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 23, and we read about that we are to love one another. The Bible says we're to do good to all men, but especially of those of the household of faith. So we're to do good one to another, we're to love one another, and that's the first thing. So that's the first way that we're to treat each other, is to love. The second one is found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Now, I will tell you, if Melissa's got all these references right, and I didn't get a chance to look at them, I could have wrote them down wrong, too. Okay, you know, I was noticing my notes the other day when I was going through it. I said, why did I write that reference? That's not the right reference, but that's what I wrote down. But in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, and here's the second one. So the first one was love. It says, be ye kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. So the second one is we're to be kindly affectionate one to another. That is, we are to be sympathetic toward one another. You know, some people have been hurt in their life, and different things have happened. They've been hurt. And so they build a wall around their heart and around their life, and so nobody's ever going to hurt them again. But you know, one of the problems when they do that is they can never be sympathetic toward other people. They just don't know how to show sympathy. The third one is also found in that same verse in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, where it says, in honor, preferring one another. We're to prefer one another. You say, what's that? We're to put other people first. That's how we're to treat each other. We're to treat each other with love. We're to treat each other with being kindly affectionate. and we're to put others above ourselves. Now, Christmas time is coming, and the kids might be singing J-O-I, J-O-I, this is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. We're to put ourselves last. Turn over to Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We're to welcome one another. We're to receive one another. This love, this is how we're supposed to treat other believers. And then look down in verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also, and here's what it says, admonish one another. You're to admonish, we're supposed to admonish one another. That is, to build each other up, to encourage one another, to admonish one another to do good things. So that's how we treat each other. And then, let's move on ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 20. It says, all the brethren greet you. And then he says, greet ye one another with a holy kiss. Well, you don't have to kiss me, okay? I'm good with that. But it's nice to greet one another. I like what we do when we shake hands on Sunday morning and Sunday night service. I think that's wonderful. People go around. I see them hugging each other and greeting one another. But, you know, that ought to be for everybody. Christians ought to love other Christians. They ought to greet one another. And they ought to encourage one another. And then keep going. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. I tried to put these in so way they just would flow through the New Testament. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to serve one another. I remember I wasn't saved very long, and I've always heated my house with firewood, and I just like a nice warm fire. And so I was telling some guys at the church, I said, well, I'm going to go home and cut some. It was like Saturday morning. We had a breakfast. And I said, well, I guess I'll go home and cut firewood. You want some help? Well, I'm not stupid. Sure, I'll take some help. We'll be right over. So they went home. They changed their clothes, and I don't know, three or four guys come over. And we had a good time cutting firewood together. And, you know, we serve one another. Once we hear about somebody has a need or whatever, we voluntarily just say, you know what, let me help you out with that if I can. Now, not everybody can do everything. I know that. And some people aren't even healthy enough to cut firewood. I understand that, too. But there are ways that we can serve one another. And then if you look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are to bear one another's burdens. Do you know in our church, in our family of like precious faith, I can promise you there are people here that have heavy burdens that some of you don't know anything about. I can promise you that. They're in every service, they're in every church, and sooner or later they will be in everybody's life. And we're to bear one another's burdens. Now, one of the ways you can do that is you can pray for them. Recently, I made a statement while I was preaching, and somebody says, Pastor, you ought to put that in the bulletin. Don't be mighty with your mouth. Be mighty on your knees in prayer. And you ought to be praying one for another. You can send people cards. You can send them little notes. When you know they're going through a hard time. Now, again, you don't always know that, but I can promise you there are people here that are. And then if you'll look, please, at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. This is how the church is supposed to treat one another. With all holiness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. We're supposed to be forbearing one to another. And some other things that are mentioned in that verse as well. But you know what I would say? I'd say we're supposed to be patient with each other. You know, some people, now, I don't want to hear any names, and I don't want you to do this either, okay? But there's probably some people that get on your nerves from time to time, all right? You know, it's like maybe their personality doesn't rub you just right or something. I don't know. But we're to be patient with each other. You don't know what's happened in their life. You don't know what's going on in their life. Just be patient one to another. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, there's a few things that are mentioned here. It says, and be kind one to another. We're supposed to be kind. It says, tender-hearted. We're supposed to be tender-hearted toward each other. And then it says, forgiving one another. I started to pick up a book today to read it. It was on forgiveness, and I read just a little bit. But I can promise you one of the greatest things that you can be in Christ-like as you can be toward other people is forgiving. In fact, Colossians mentioned that as well. You are to forgive one another. Well, so-and-so hurt me. Well, forgive them. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. You're right, I don't. Forgive them anyway. Forgive and move on. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 18, Brother Stiles read this the other day. I got to get there. Hang on. So we did Colossians 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 18, where it says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're supposed to comfort one another. So now, so far, I've given you 12 or 13 things. This is how we treat each other. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Then we're supposed to edify one another. Now, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I don't know if you were all here or not. Edification and praise are not the same thing. Praise is always based on performance. Faith, you sang a song. Beautiful song, Faith. That was a word of praise. That praised her for what she did. Your kid comes home from school and gets 100 on a test, and you say, good job, man, I'm proud of you for that. That's based on a performance. They did something. Why you gave them that praise. True edification doesn't need performance. You just build them up because you build them up. We're supposed to do that one to another. And then in 1 Timothy, keep moving through the T-books now. I like it all the T-books are together. When you find one, you found them all. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. We're to prefer one another. We don't just pick and choose. We love everybody. And then you'll notice, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. When you start putting this whole list together, we're supposed to treat each other pretty good. Pretty good. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So we're to consider one another and we're to provoke one another. And it even tells us what we're to provoke people to do. And that is, we're to provoke them to good works and to love one another. And then in Hebrews chapter, I got these out of order. Hebrews chapter, let me check this. This could be typed in wrong. Yeah, try Hebrews 13. I think it's Hebrews 13. In verse 3, maybe. Well, that's not exactly what I wanted. But anyways, it's a verse that says, that's only one wrong so far, so that's better than I thought we'd do, to be honest. The Bible teaches us that we're to exhort one another. Oh, it's Hebrews 10:25, isn't it? I think that's what it is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So now we're to exhort one another. In James chapter 4, in verse 11, I told you we were going to look at a lot of references. It says this, but they've been pretty much in order. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. We are not to speak evil one of another. There is, and I've said this before, and I promise you I'm going to say it again, there is no room in the family of God for gossip and talking bad about one another. It really needs to not happen. So we are not to speak evil one of another. And then in James chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. We're to grudge not against one another. Don't hold any grudges. I grew up in a family that was grudge holders. I hated it. I mean, I saw it in my grandparents. I saw it in my dad. I've seen it in some of my siblings. It's like a generational sin in our family. Just hold grudge, hold a grudge, hold a grudge. And it doesn't need to be in the family of God. All right, what do we got next? James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. Well, you don't hear too much of that today. And pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We're to pray one for another. We're to be people that pray for each other. Now, you can take your phone list, this is what we do, and you can mark off however many names in a day or in a week you want to pray for, however you do that, or you get the one name every week out of the bulletin, but it takes a while for us to get through the church list if you only use the bulletin. And you can take 5 names or 10 names or however many you feel, and you can pray for those people and pray one for another. That's a good way to do that. And then let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, several things there, but we're to have compassion one for another. And then you'll notice down in chapter 4, in verse 9, it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. We are supposed to be hospitable one to another. Now, let me ask you something. I want you to think about it. Sometimes people have people over for dinner. Every now and again it happens. But when's the last time you had somebody over for dinner that you've never had over for dinner before? I mean, somebody new. Do you know, where's the qualifications of the pastor? 1 Timothy chapter 3. And it says, given to hospitality. You know what that is, literally? A lover of strangers. So you're supposed to see a stranger, a pastor is, and be a lover of strangers. That's what it means in that particular passage of Scripture. But we're supposed to show say that word for me. Thank you. That there, one toward another. That's what we're supposed to do, being hospitable. I could say that one better. And then lastly, this is the 23rd one or the 22nd one on my list. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship, one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The last thing I'll mention, how we're supposed to treat one another, is that we're supposed to fellowship one with another. I will be honest, I'd rather fellowship with the people in the church than anybody. I mean, I just would. I like good godly fellowship. I don't like to hear cursing and swearing. I don't want to be around people that are drinking and smoking and all that stuff. And I can pretty well count on it when I'm around Christian people, at least those in our church anyway. That's not going to happen. I know there's some liberal Christians that do all kinds of that stuff. But it's nice to fellowship with good, clean, godly people. It just is. Now, you take that list and think about that list, and I know you can't remember it all. When you go down through all those verses of scriptures that I read to you and that you looked at there in your Bible, and you think about how we're supposed to treat one another. The family of like precious faith treats each other good. I would even say really good. So you might want to examine your own life. Now, here's the thing. If we do not add to our faith, I think there were 7 things in that list that began with virtue. With diligence and with urgency, you are not going to have the strong Christian life that you're going to need in the hour of crisis when it comes into your life. So let's add these things and let's treat the brethren, one another, the way that we should. The only one I wouldn't want you to take completely literal is greet one another with a holy kiss, all right? I'm good without that there. But anyway, you can shake my hand, you can give me a hug, but the rest of it there, especially you guys. I've done stuff with Tony or before, and you know, one of us have got hurt or whatever. I said, don't expect any mouth-to-mouth from me, man. It ain't happening. So you're on your own right now. But anyway, let's pray. Lord, this is how we're supposed to treat one another. They weren't my words. Mostly, I just went from verse to verse to verse to verse and read Scripture. And the phrase, one another, one another, one another. We could go home. Anybody could go home, because most of the people here use a computer, and they could type in one another, and they could find all the places, all those references in the Bible. But that's how we are to treat each other in the family of like precious faith. Help us to do that. Help us to see from your word how you want us to treat each other. And then help us to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And Lord, it'll make our fellowship sweet. It'll make all of our times together sweet and precious. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have a stack load of missionary letters, but I'm not going to be able to read them all.